a little over a year ago since our last see him, and we're back, a little smaller, but very committed. I was thinking during Purim, we have this concept of a Purim spiel. And I really wondered, why is it that Minhagim of Klai Yisrael, the yeshivas specifically, always have a Purim spiel? Time is so precious on Purim. Every moment can be used for tremendous, tremendous heights. Yet the Gadoli Ador and the Rosh Yeshivas always went to these Purim spiels and watched them. I thought of a little bit maybe of an answer. We take a step back from our lives and we're able to look at ourselves. We're able to see that some of the things that we do could be they're a waste of time. It could be the grew up in specific communities. An example comes to mind. But the boys, when they come from Eretz Yisrael, from America to Eretz Yisrael for Beis Medrash, they realize that there is Yidden and Klai Yisrael who don't watch the Super Bowl, and they could actually learn. It's like a new concept. They go down to the Kotel and they see, wow, there are Jews that wear different clothing than where they came from. They start to realize when they leave, when you leave where you're from, you're able to see a bigger picture. I think that's a little bit what the Purim spiel is all about. Some years better than others, but that's the concept. The concept is we're supposed to look at ourselves and take a step back and reevaluate what we're doing and remember where our goals are. And that's tremendous, tremendous avoda, and that fits right in the theme of Purim. I want to take just a moment to publicly thank Mr. Yosef Nepi for taking care of the Purim spiel here in Matzio for many, many years. And it's really now I work for the Tzibur. It's a tough job. And no matter how good you do, it's never good enough. And it's really, really appreciated, definitely from my standpoint, because I plan the evening, and if he's not there, I don't know what I would do. But from Matzio itself. So great, great Yashar Koach to Mr. Nepi on his Purim spiel. But specifically about the shir, and specifically about Mr. Nepi. If you hadn't noticed, the shir is a major, major part of his life. He gets home a lot of times, past 12 o'clock at night. He gets up in the middle of his sleep, goes to the first minyan, then to the shir, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think he even takes attendance for himself. And then he goes about his business the rest of the day. And if he's on the moshav, you can bet he's at the shir. Mr. Nepi is truly inspiration, and tonight I'm going to call on him to be the sign for us, the Amud Yomi of Shabbos. Mr. Nepi.
Shabbos concludes with the cipher of the final Mishnah in the Masechta, and it says, "Midivrahem lamadnu shepokakin umodedin v'koshin b'Shabbos." That, according to them, according to Chazal, we learn out that to shut up something, to put a plug on something, and to measure and to tie on Shabbos is permissible. The last little segment of Gemara deals with the modedin aspect. Ula iklay lebay reish galusa, chazia leraba barafuna de yasiv baba avna, the Maya, the Avna the Maya. Ula came upon the house of the reish galusa, and he saw Rabba barafuna, that he was sitting in a bathtub of water, vakama shaklay, and he was measuring. Now, we learn out that on Shabbos, to measure is an issur de Rabbanan. However, if it's for a mitzvah, it's permissible. So Amalei, Ula says to Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Eima da Amrei Barnaman Rabbanan medidida de mitzvah? He says, when the Rabbanan permitted a measuring on Shabbos, that was for the purpose of a mitzvah. The law mitzvah, mi amur, And if it's not a mitzvah, it's not permissible. And what are you doing here? You're not sitting in a mikveh. It's a bathtub of sorts. So there's no concept of a mitzvah here. So doing an issur d'rabbanan. What's going on here? So Amalei. So the Rabbi Bar Huna replies. Mitaseif ba'alma ana. He says, I'm busying myself doing nothing, with no purpose in mind. I'm just measuring. Nothing attached to it. No reason for it. And that's the Torah permitted. So, first of all, what do we see here? When we learn out that measuring is prohibited on Shabbos, and for a mitzvah it's permissible. And second of all, now what was he doing here, and what is the difference really between doing something not for a mitzvah, which would be asur, and doing it just stam, for no rhyme or reason, and that would be permissible. So first of all, we have the Rambam Shita, that the Rav mentioned this morning, actually, Mimotso Chetzecha, that a person doing something for your own needs on Shabbos is asur in relation to this. And Chetzecha, but something for Shemaim's sake, which is a mitzvah, the Tzarchei Shemaim, that would be permissible. There's also a Shita of Tosfos who talks about Uvda Dechol, but Rashi, we'll see in a moment, seems to be going according to the Rambam Shita, that it's Asr because doing something for your own needs. So let's see what Rashi has to say. Just two little Rashis. Ba'avna, he translates it as that Begigas Malay Maim. There's a basin full of water. Tosfos defines it Ambatya Shel Maim. As a bathtub. The final Rashi is mitaseik shelo letzorich, that he's involving himself without any need, elala usukei ba'alma, but he's just doing it, and I had to translate it, just doing it without any reason whatsoever. So Rashi doesn't really sort of give an answer to that second question, and I was learning this with my son-in-law. I was sitting there at the table. My daughter was around, my wife. She wasn't missing, but she was there. And first of all, we brought in that there is this concept of lishpoch teisha kabin. It's an inya to do that as opposed to the mikveh. It hasn't got the same kedusha, of course, but there is sort of an inya to pour water over you, and you could have possibly been doing that. And on the other hand, my daughter said something interesting, which Rav Aaron now said he actually saw it somewhere, is that, you know, when you get people speaking Torah, and they're involved in something on Shabbos, you know, that they can't think of Torah. You're in the bathroom, in the bathtub. It's very, very difficult just to pass the time of day or just meditate or something. And he had to do something, so he was measuring. It's something, you know, it's a problem today for many Talmidei Chachamim what to do under such circumstances. And here he was, so he was measuring. I mean, you know, through the ages we have children with ducks, I don't know, whatever. But there was no purpose to this, and he was measuring. So that's really the answer he gave. And so that really concludes the Gemara. So I would just like to now just make the seal, and then I'll just say a few words as well, straight after this. Permission to start going ahead and do it. Okay. Now let's get. No, I just get away. Okay. I wish I could put my glasses on, or if that's a problem. Okay. Hadran alach masechet Shabbos v'hadran chalad. The asan alam masechet Shabbos, but the tachalan lorn in this nashay menach masechet Shabbos for lorn this nashay manan lo ba alma hadain v'lo ba alma the asay. Hadran alan the sacred Shabbos, but Hadran alan the Tanalat, the sacred Shabbos, but the Tach alan, Lon is Nashay Manach, the sacred Shabbos, the Lord Tit Nashay Manan, Loba Alma Hadain, the Loba Alma the Asai, Hadran alak, the sacred Shabbos, the Hadran alan, the Tan alan, the sacred Shabbos, the Tach alan, Lord Nishnasay Manach, the sacred Shabbos, the Lord Tit Nashay Manan, Loba Alma Hadain, the Loba Alma the Asai. Yehir tzor milfanecha adonol ha'heinu v'lavaseinu. Shetehei tzor ha'secha umanaseinu v'olam hazeh usahei imanu l'olam haba. Chanina bar papa, Rami bar papa, Nachman bar papa, Achair bar papa, Abba Mari bar papa, Rafram bar papa, Rachish bar papa, Surchav bar papa, Adar bar papa, Daru bar papa. Terev na Adonol Eloheinu es divasotcha befinu befios amcha beis Israel. Veninye anachnu tzeitzenu 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 amcha beis Israel kulanu yodei shmecha v'lomdei torsecha me'ovei tzeitchmeini mitvosecha ki olam hi li. Yehi libi famim chukecha lama'an lo evosh l'lam lo eshkach v'kudesecha ki vam ki yesutanu. Baruch ata Adonai lamdeinu chukecha. Amen, 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 sela va'et. Modim anachnu lefanecha, Adonai Eloheinu v'Eloheinu, shesamta chalkeinu miyoshvei beis ha-midrash, v'lo samta chalkeinu miyoshvei k'renos, sh'anu mashkimim v'haim mashkimim. Anu mashkimim lidivrei sora v'haim mashkimim lidivrei betalim. Anu amelim v'haim amelim, anu amelim mekabelim schar, v'haim amelim v'haim mekabelim schar. Anu ratzim v'haim ratzim. אנו רצים לחי עולם הבא, הם רצים לבאר שחס, שנאמר, ואתה אלוהים תורידם לבאר שחס. אנשי דמים ומרמה לא יחסו ימיהם ואני אפתח בך. יהיו צפון לפניך, אדוני אלוהי, כשם שעזרתני לסיים בסקר שבס, כן תעזרני להתחיל מסכתוס ספרים אחרים לסיימם ללמוד אלוני לשמוב לעשות לקיים את כל דברי תמותורסך באהבה וזכוס כל התנאים והאמורים לתלמידי חכמים יעמוד לי לזערי שלא סמוש התורה מפי ומפי זערי וזרע זערי עד עולם ותקיים בי ותיס הלכך תנחה אותך בשבחך תשמוע עליך, והתוססה היא תשיחך. כי בי ירבו ימיך, ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים. אורך ימים במינן, ובשמאלה עושה בכבוד, אדוני עוז מועיתן, אדוני יברך, את אבו בקרבה. יסגדל ויסגדש מרבה, ומאב יהו יסיד לאיזחתתה, לועצה חייה, מסייע ולעסקה, יסחון לחיה אלמה, ולמבני קרתד ירושלים, ולשכללה החלה וגבה, ולמעקד פלחנה נוכרעה מן ערעה, לבעסתבה פלחנה די שמיה, לעשרב ימליך קדושה ברוך הוא, במחוסי וקרי וחייכון ואיכון וחי לכל בית ישראל, והגלז מנפירי ורימורו אומר. עושה שלום במלמה, קוב רחמה ועשה שלום. עלינו וכל ישראל, ברימו אמן.
אמן.
That we learn out from Purim is that Purim occurred
after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were in Galus, everything was dark, the whole Purim story takes place in a pessimistic, morose mood, and it could very well be that the destruction of the Jewish people is imminent. Hashem seemingly is nowhere to be seen, and the Jews are forsaken. And going to be one of the most bleakest periods in our history. After the euphoria of what it was before with the Beis HaMikdash and the whole history of the Jewish people. So, we all know, of course, the major limud of Purim is that that's definitely not the case. That even though it's a period of Hestapanim, Hashem is behind the scenes, he's there, manipulating, shows his hand in this hidden manner, and we can see with hindsight and learning the lessons of Purim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us just as much as he ever was, never will be. And the point to make is that there is no such thing as an accident. Every little incident, every little miser came about through some reason. So that's the case, was my question. We started learning through Maseches Brochas a while back. It just came out of the blue, so to speak. I mean, it was mooted, it came maybe the years and years of history. Anyway, it started when it came on a specific date, no real reason for that date. And it ended Ahmed Yomi on a certain date, and we began Maseches Shabbos. And again, I don't think any plan that we're going to have a siyum on Purim as such. And it so happened that, learning 6 days a week, the Masechta, and the truth of that is, could have even been yesterday, fulfills all days, because we didn't have a shir yesterday, we could have finished yesterday, had it on Yud Dalet, so we had it on Tetvav, which is Shushan Purim. So it really ends on Purim. So if there's no such thing as an accident, why Dafka did we have to have this effect of Shabbos on Purim? I mean, there has to be a reason. So, of course, I had my family around the table, and we basically came up with the following, whatever it might be. First of all, the Masechta Shabbos. So, an aspect of Shabbos which I'd like to mention, which I think fits in with Purim, is that amidst all the depth that Shabbos portrays and the intricacies that we can't even relate to, so many aspects of our lives, what it means, there are two remembrances that we have to do as a mitzvah on Shabbos. And that's, of course, Zeicher Matzah Bereishis and Zeicher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to remember Hashem's creation of the world and coming out of Mitzrayim, Egypt. And, of course, you say this in the Kiddush. It's mentioned in Kiddush every Friday night. So it's a very intricate, important part of what Shabbos was all about, this remembrance. I'm sure there are many, many reasons behind it, but I think one of the most important things is what is common between Maisa Bereishis and Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we see Hashem's miracles openly wrought. With Maisa Bereishis, each day is a new creation, something from nothing, and what greater miracle can there be than that? And it's there for us to see as each step of the way unfurls itself. And the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's a different thing. The world is already kayam. We've already acknowledged that Hashem is the creator of all things. And now we have the Jewish people going out of Mitzrayim and to impart upon us a further understanding. We have the open miracles again, in a certain sense, repeated in the sense that there were miracles for the world at large. And with what happened in Egypt, what happened in the desert, of course, all the miracles. And it's very plain to see, it's very obvious. If a person sees an open miracle like that, one obviously is going to think, it just doesn't, the miracle doesn't happen for nothing. And our common sense, our brain, our cycle, actually has the distinct impression, it's made an impression upon us that Hashem has created everything. Then we come to Purim. Now, the Jewish people, with all levels
even though we've been exposed to Maisa Bereshis, we've been exposed to Yetzias Mitzrayim, somehow there could have been an aspect missing, lacking. What Purim does, as I already explained when I said the question, is something where Hashem shows his hand in a normal, everyday manner, so it seems, and manipulates everything to exactly how he wants it to be, and the end result. No less a miracle than the first kind of miracles. But we don't recognize these miracles with our seichel. This comes more from our lay, comes more from our heart. We read the story. Each time you read the story, each time you learn new things, the depth, the emotion is very, very much affected. And this, just as the Yetzias Mitzrayim and Maisa Bereishis imprints on our mind, on our seichel, the acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sole creator of this world, who takes care of everything, what happens now is that our hearts, our emotions are now latches on into this, and it takes on a new dimension as it's added to the seichel as well. And that completes and fulfills us. So how does that really answer the question? I think here, for a small group of people that we have, and I'm sure there's a larger audience outside as well, that this acknowledgement of Hashem with seichel and lev is not only in just knowing for sure that God is the one and only, but also helps us in every aspect of our life to conduct ourselves with that knowledge and to use the seichel and the lev in our everyday lives, whether it's our own midas, dealing with ourselves, dealing in our homes, and dealing even here we, majority of us are from the moshav, even in dealing with moshav decisions and judgments, dealing with the seichel and the lev, because it's all part and parcel. In that way, we perform our avodas Hashem, and it's our striving in order to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why it's very, very important that, I mean, in anybody's field, that Masechta on Shabbos on Purim, we could come up with that, but for us specifically, here, when we're such a tight, closely knit unit, and we have people with different schedules, some people coming home late, some people going to bed early, some people, from the minute they come out of the shoe, they're rushing off somewhere the whole day, no rest, no break, some people missing the shiur and listening to it in the car, on the way to work, whatever it might be, but all different types of people, nothing is what it seems, it's not an easy thing to come to that time of the morning, and everybody makes their own efforts, and that's really an amazing thing, and by taking this to heart of the seichel and the lev, we are able to continue further. The other aspect of this whole thing is, of course, the Rav. Now, 6 days a week, every day of the year, basically, we have a shiur, and I prepare 2 lines, the whole Ganser Maisa, yeah? Prepare 2 lines for a shiur. The Rav, on a daily basis, has to come in. Now, I think one of the reasons why we had to have Purim, so our lives can be, our hearts can be emotionally attached to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is that there was a certain lacking. It's quite easy, and it happens that we come on a daily basis, out of habit, we listen to the shiur, we pay as much attention as we can under the circumstances, sometimes less, sometimes more. But the Rav comes in every day, prepared, has it all there for us, and we can glean of it what we can. And the Rav most certainly provides the lev. He provides the heart that we all have to do is just to latch in onto that and be able to acknowledge not only what he's doing it for us in an obvious manner, but also that we can emotionally attach ourselves to the wonderment of having an opportunity of starting the day. And starting the day in such a manner of limud kaver itim b'torah, and whatever happens in the course of the day, it's there, it's done, it's a foundation. And in 20 years' time, Mitzvah Shem will have completed Shas, and Who knows what the schus of such efforts have come to. So a tremendous kashrut talk to the Rav from all our hearts and our seichel for providing us with this opportunity. It's so easy to be blasé about it, but we have something which we and of course to the organizers, Rav Aria, Danny, who instigates the whole thing and provides, of course, and everybody, and each person in their own way, just by coming to this year, is a tremendous person. In fact, people all over the world who listen. It goes far beyond my own comprehension of what this year is. So, with many, many mesechtes to go, there's going to be lots of siyums, please God. Each of us will have more than one turn, I should imagine. And it will come around to all of us, and I feel very, very honored that I was given this particular one, and everybody else shall have the opportunity, please God, and that we should all just steig on the stem of life and continue in this path, and this will help bring that bleakness of the world that we're living in today in many, many ways. This is a light and should certainly be an instrument in eventually bringing a true Geula to our people.
Said to me, you know, almost your whole street goes to Amud Yomi. I said to myself, wow. I said to myself, come out the whole street. I realized the impact one receives from his friends and his neighbors is tremendously shocking. Ironically, most people don't ask a Shailas Chacham before they move to a new place. But the place where you get the most impact, where you're going to get the most impact is where you live, all your friends and all your neighbors. One shining example of a good neighbor and friend is Rabbi Aryeh Viron. I want to personally thank him for being my chavrusa every day, and specifically for giving the shir while the Rav is away. I just want to give a small token appreciation for the shir. Help you when you're learning the secretary. I don't have this written down, but just understand that when the Rav goes away, Aryeh lives the shir. And to the extent that he, at least one time said to me he couldn't get pshat, his eyes were falling asleep. He went to sleep, woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to continue trying to get pshat in the Gemara. So understand what we're dealing with when the Rav's away, when Aryeh comes and he gives us this year. That short introduction. You can thank my wife also for that one.
On the question that Yosef was bothered by, not really bothered by, but the interesting fact that we finish brochos on Adar Rishon, and we're finishing now Shabbos on Shushan Purim, we kind of missed Purim a little bit. They both have an aspect of Purim, but they're not Purim famous. Really, they're a potential Purim, but they're different in the potential Purims. Last year, when we finished on Adar Rishon, Brochos, it was for sure Bekoach, Perm, but it wasn't in our hands. We couldn't do anything about it. We don't have a Sanhedrin. We don't change our calendar. It's been fixed for us. It was Adar Rishon. Nothing you could do about it. We just have, it's still the day of Perm, and potentially it could have possibly been it. But today, Shushan Perm, it's much more in our hands. Because any one of us could have gone to Yerushalayim and celebrated Perm. The concept of Perm in potential, and there's Purim
in actuality. So there's two types of potentials one could have. Last night, middle of the night, about 4 in the morning, I woke up, and I was in the middle of a dream. I don't know if anyone knows, the person is Rabbi Tzvi Meyer Silverberg, the grandson of Gadal Yeshua. I was having a dream about him. And, you know, after drinking all day, you're laying in bed and you're deciding, should I get that drink of water, should I not? And as the room starts tilting to the right, and I had about 15, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, and then something that I once heard from Rabbi Tzvi Meyer came to me. My mind was on him, holy man. He once said in the Shir, and there's an incredible yesod in Ruchnius, something we should hear, understand it. He said one of the greatest korbans in a person's Ruchnius is trying to be something you're not. And he said he knows thousands of individuals, fine B'nai Torah, that did not reach their potential, that they're always groping for something they're not. They miss it. They miss it. They have all these excuses. If only I did something this way. If only I did more chizor. If only I paid more attention last year. All the things basically in the world. All these if onlys. Because they're trying to say, who I am, I can't. I have a situation in front of me that I have to deal with. That I have to approach. But then he uses it as a cop out. If only I did differently. If only I was born in a different family. If only this was different. All the years in yeshiva, the last masechta I learned, I did more chazor on it. All these things. And really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what you're about. He knows all your kochot. All the things about you. And when he gives you a test or a situation, he's giving it with who you are. What you're about. With all your chesmonin and all your things. And when a person says, if only, he's basically saying, I can't deal with this right now. Because I should have been someone else that I'm not. When a person tries to be something that they're not, they're already setting themselves up for failure over here. And he says more than that. He says it's a chorban. A chorban when a person takes himself and makes something different. He brings the famous Maisa. Rav Naftali Amsterdam went to Rav Yisrael Salanta, and he said, Rebbe, if only I had the brain of the Shargis Aryeh and the Nidos of Rebbe and the lab of Yisod B'Shor Shavoda, if only I had all those things. And Rav Yisrael said to him, Naftali, with your brain, with your heart, with your Nidos, with all these things, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, with your potential, what's in your hand, that's what you got to do over here. It's interesting. The story that when Naftali went, he didn't say, if only I could be like the Shargis Aryeh or like you, Rav Yisrael. He made up a Bria that was never in the world before. There's no such person that had the brain of the Shargis Aryeh and the heart of the Yisod B'Shor Shavoda and the Midos. It was something completely new. Meaning that the fantasy of trying to be something he wasn't took it so far that it wasn't even in the world. That's what people do. We all get caught up into this. And rather, we got to understand we have tremendous potential over here. We just finished the Masechta Shabbos over here. We finished a year ago Brochas. We know there's a big difference between Brochas and Shabbos. No question about it. If it takes Ki'ilu, you stretch it a little bit. 4 in the morning, I was able to stretch it. The connection between Brochas and the first Adar over here. No question about it. Brochas is an accomplishment. It's an accomplishment. The fact is, a lot of people do it. It's the first Masechta people know. For us, we've been sitting in the Shir for the last year and a half. We know the difference between a Masechta Shabbos and a Masechta Brochos. Someone who now spent the last year, the last 13 months, learning Masechta Shabbos, 157 Dafim, Ada Kufner Zayin, over here with all the Inyanim and a lot of difficult sections. They're covering too many things. Someone who did this, you should realize what he has in his hand over here. He has something actual in his hand, a tremendous accomplishment over here. Person day after day, no matter how much we got from him, okay, we always know that we have to improve more. But realize the potential that we actualized over here with learning the Masechta Shabbos. It's not a push to stop. People should take a moment and feel the moment, the weight of an accomplishment of finishing basically an extremely, extremely long and difficult and yesod masechta in Shas. We have a lot. You should feel good about it, especially starting tomorrow morning. We're starting Erevin. As the Rav mentioned this morning, to separate the men from the boys. This is in fact it. Before that, we had the Derek Schok in the Yeshivish belt. We call, there's three Masechtas, we call them the Ani Masechtas.
right? Eruvin is the iron, Nun is for Nida, and Yud is for Yevamot. These are three mesectas that have a justly deserved reputation that people don't learn it. It's a difficult mesecta over here. But when one realizes what he has in his hand, the ability that we just finished, accomplished, more, another aspect, we're on our way over here. Again, as Donnie mentioned, we've come down, a solid core of 20, 25 people coming regularly to the show, which is not a small thing on this most of over here. How many families are here? I mean, a few guests over here. What's in our hands, we could accomplish anything. The whole world we could accomplish over here. But one's got to take the time out to understand it's in our hands. We have the ability. When we finish Masechta Shabbos, we go on, as we just said, more swarm to the Messiah, to Matchil them, to Messiah them, to finish him. The last, one of the last sugyas, the sugya right before of Yosef was Messiah, was making a neder. Nedorim on Shabbos, being made for them, they had Taurus Nedorim, the Torah of the Yom, not the Torah of the Yom. One of the aspects of Nedorim that we work with is we use Nedorim to motivate ourselves, to inspire, to get us to go weiter. We should take the moments right now, because we have a long next number of months going in front of us with an Erevin, and realize after Erevin is Pesachim, which a lot of us are familiar with, and then we have a load of very small mesectas. We're there, we have accomplishments. Not just like at Brochos, when it was in the beginning, and it was in the potential to be a Purim, a Yom of Feast. We just finished that right now. Any one of us, if we go, all we have to do is travel to Yerushalayim. All we have to do is make the commitments for the next Masechta over here. Take the time. We can do it, all of us. A Masechta Erevin, when you finish it, you got to finish it sometime in your life. There's a time right now we have the opportunity. Make a commitment that we're going to do it. Everyone here, we finished. We got through Brochas Shabbos. We're going to get through Erevin. All of us. It's going to be, especially now we have the new form that the Rav gave us. We should be Zohar. Just like we were Messiah Brochas and we were Messiah Shabbos. We have we see it in our hands. We could do it. We're as a group over here. We could be Messiah more Mesectas. We'll take on Erevin together. I just saw one small thing on Matanus Lev, not a Matanus Lev, in Shalach Manos. We learned together. The Megillah Sotrim asked, what's the pshat? In Mishalach Manos. We know everybody says the Matanos Levyonim, everybody has to give, it's more important than Mishalach Manos, but Klal Yisrael has a way of doing things that you have to understand. If we're doing something in a certain way, we've got to take it, why are we doing it like that? Everybody usually spends more on their Mishalach Manos than their Matanos Levyonim. And then Netzach Yisrael, whatever, we know it's not Lashak, there's reasons behind everything. Why is it that Klal Yisrael didn't? So a very nice pshat. One, Mishalach Manos is only Nogeda Perm. We don't have any other Yom Tov where we send gifts to others. Only on this day. So the Megillah Sotrim says, because all the other Yom Tovim came to us, Bishut Brit Avos. Came to us, we had Avos, we had people, but Purim came among ourselves. Everybody themselves, all the Klal Yisrael gathered under the banner of Mordechai, a Yehudi, and we accomplished something as a team over here. This is something tremendous. And therefore, when we give Mishalach Manos, when I give to someone, I'm being Machzik Tova. I'm thanking it because of you we were saved. And the guy comes back to me, no, because of you we were saved. And we're all going around to other people and being Machzik Tova to each other. It was a Klal Yisrael thing over here. With that, you know, we together, you know, as Yosef mentioned, it's hard getting up in the morning, hard going to assure that. But when you see every day, day after day, a solid group of people coming in and steiging, and we talk about it after davening, and people are holding in the inyanim over here, we should all be machzik tova to each other on this day, and feel good when you're part of a group like this. Also be machzik tova, let's not forget, to our wives over here, who are also giving up at a precious time in the morning. A lot of us, it's hard to find time, right? But we all managed to find an extra solid block of time to be Messiah and Mesectas. I'm sure every wife has their story of what's going on in the house and changed in the last year and a half because the men are involved in a serious learning project. We have to be Machzik Tova for the Nashim. And I want to be Machzik Tova to my morning chavrusa. Donnie, who without fail keeps this year going with the coffee, the gasoline, and the cookies from his wife. They're a very important aspect. And he worries about it. It's not that he just brings the cookies. Someone who worries about things. And a special chorus atov to Rav Lef. Again, we are so zocher having someone who knows mesectas, who's familiar, intimately familiar with the halachas and the Musa Hafkils, and gives us a proper mesorah on how to approach the Gemara and a lot of information. A heartfelt thanks to Rav Lef for day after day after day, week after week, except when you go away. And that's when I really have to thank the Rav, because that's when I start learning. It's good. Rav Asai, thank you all so much. Again, being part of a group, and a chush of a group. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I have a lot of chorus of tov to everyone here. We should be zocher to, again, be methine many more mesectas together.
Totally unplanned. And, recorded, so yeah. This is, well, so it was, I didn't know about it. So, very important concept is a karas atov. And, there's a support system to this, this whole shiur, and there's also a place where the shiur came from. So, besides for the tremendous Yad Dishmaya and the chavura that we have together, learning everything that was said thus far, we need to express the karas hatov just for a second on behalf of the regular people in the shiur, not the talmid chacham giving the shiur, the up and coming talmid chacham, hopefully from the shiur. Needless to say, it's a tremendous, tremendous hakaras hatov to the Rav for preparing the shiur and giving the shiur. And I understand the Rebbetzin has part in the Rabbi leaving in the morning sometimes also, Once or twice, I heard once or twice. And Rav Aryeh for being an unbelievable inspiration for this year, not only when he fills in when the rabbi is away, but Rav Aryeh fills in when the rabbi is here also. Throughout the day, some days the rabbi is around, some days the rabbi is around a little bit less. Rav Aryeh is always there. If somebody missed a particular shiur, he wants to mashli him, wants to do chazara, he wants to grab him a little bit here in the Beis Medrash. Dani has a little protector, he gets him every day, do chazara. And Dani, besides for organizing the coffee every day, also really worries about the shiur every day and makes sure that it keeps on going. But started from before that. The dream of having this shiur was Dani's. I only helped him con the rabbi into giving this shiur. It's not a joke. That's how it happened. But it was really Dani's idea. Usually what happens is they ask the person that's most involved in something to be involved in expressing a karas hatov in that particular thing. Since hands down, I take the prize in shiur for benefiting the most from the refreshments and cookies that are baked fresh and brought to us every day. I have competition, I have a secret competition. I'd like to, on behalf of each and every one in the shiur, even those that are on diet and don't eat cookies in the morning, or the rabbi who doesn't drink coffee altogether, although it says in the book that he does, I'd like to express a tremendous hakaras hatov on behalf of everyone to Mrs. Na'ama Bader, not only for the everyday preparation, but for the background and backing and helping with organizing logistics for the Siyum and this tremendous suda that we're here, and everything that she prepares every day, and of course for sending Dani out of bed for the Siyum also. This present is for Mrs. Bader. Okay.
A moment to wish Karish Tov to one group that actually wasn't mentioned yet, surprisingly enough. And that's the group of people who walk all the way from Kiryat Sefer daily to the Shir. It's hard enough for me to walk from my house to the Beis Knesset, let alone from Kiryat Sefer. It's a tremendous chizuk. So I know it's specifically a big chizuk, and we have a Kohen that comes to the first minyan regularly. But we appreciate it. It means a lot. So one of the members even came. His wife had a baby. The night that his wife had a baby, he was there in the shir the next morning. Unbelievable chizuk to all of us. We had another member, Mordechai Brauman, who was from Brachfeld, walking every single day. And I spoke to him recently. He's so unhappy he's unable to attend. His feet are bothering him right now. But he hopes to be able to come there in the near future. And he walks from Brachfeld every day to hear the shir. Tremendous, tremendous chizuk. I want to also thank. Want to also thank everybody, specifically Mira Hazen and all of the ladies who were able to put this team together. It was run so efficiently, by the way, I have to apologize. We're actually under budget. And what that means is if anybody has a problem, there's a few shekels left from each person's. Payment. If you want it back, speak to me. If not, I'm going to use it for the shear or other types of things. So I need some nikiyim. There's a few shekels left. It wasn't my fault. She's very efficient. Anyway. The Megillah is Megala. It reveals the hidden hand of Hashem. As a movie, in 1.5 hours, one sees a picture. And that one starts to realize what he wouldn't have been able to see if it wasn't for the fact that he was standing on the outside and watching over many years in 1.5 hours. And that's really what happens when we listen to the Megillah. We're outside, we're listening to the Megillah, And we're watching a whole picture over 12, 13 years, and we start to realize the hidden hand of Hashem. Each thread being woven together. So too, Rav Lev weaves for us his Torah thoughts. Rav Lev reveals for us the will of Hashem day after day, year after year. It is my great pleasure to give the Rav a little sefer on Erevin from us, and to call him to stay afterwards. I was told he doesn't have it, but I don't know.
I think it was Donnie, it may have been Yosef, for a great compliment. He said, we're here a year later, a little smaller, but I really appreciate that. My scale doesn't say that, but I appreciate the compliment. He didn't say some of us. And I think it was maybe Ellie who balanced that out and said that the regular people in this year, I think that implies that we are irregular, me and Aryeh. So I don't know what that exactly means, but I think I'm a regular person too. Okay, I'll tell you the truth. I part of the reason that this year ever came about is because I go away. And usually when I'm away, I stay in Far Rockaway. By good friends of ours who've been here on the Moshav, the Swerdlicks, and they live about a half a block away from the Agudas Yisrael of Lawrence, which Rabbi Brown is the Rav of. And I daven there every morning, and he has a daf yomi shir every morning, like from about 6:30, I think, or 6:45, even till about 7:20, whatever, every morning. And inevitably, I come early to davening, and I don't go to the shir, because I'm not holding by daf yomi the same place everybody else is. But I know I give the shir. And many times, I said to myself, wow, you know, even though I was not a great fan of daf yomi, but here's a tremendous opportunity to say a shir every morning. Right? Maybe I got so close to do that, but I said, it's not shayach. We're not going to get a handful, if not even one or two people who want to learn daf yomi every morning. When can we do it? And then forget about the morning. When can we possibly do it? And then Donnie and Ellie came to me about this year, and my original reaction was, there's no way that you can find a time that I can be there every day to give an omid yomi shir. And they said, yes, there's a time, 6:45 in the morning, between the early minyan and the second minyan. And the truth is, I couldn't think of anything I had to do at that time of the morning. Except I remember I once used to sleep at that time of the day. And Baruch Hashem, kina sofrim tar bechochma, and because I really had that lo sachmod, but here you're allowed to have that kind of chemda, so it worked out very nicely. I never thought we'd get past brachas. Baruch Hashem, it's a year later, and we're into Shabbos, and if we get past Erevin, from there, it's smooth sailing after that. Yirtzeh Hashem. Baruch Hashem, I have two concrete benefits from this year on Shabbos. I have, Kenai Nahara, 83 double-side pages of notes for this year that I can always refer to now. And I have an underlined Gemara on every daf. So after 120 years, when they find the Gemara, they'll say, hey, once learned Shabbos, that's what it's called. At least you underline the words. So that's a benefit also. I just want to say something about the end of Masechet Shabbos and start the first mission of Erevin, and then I'll complete what I want to say. I found an Avnei Nezer that he said this when he was a child. he said, what's it called? He explained Hadron Olech Misha Hechshich, the Slika Masecha Shabbos. He said like this. He said that there are 24 prakim in Shabbos, one for each hour of Shabbos, 24 hours. He says, L'chara though, there's Tosefa Shabbos. You have to add a little bit in the beginning, a little bit in the end. There should be two more prakim. There should be 26 prakim in Shabbos. But since Misha Hechshich, the Sfarim say that when Shabbos comes in, so it's still only Tosefa Shabbos. It's not Mama Shabbos. And you're allowed to give your wallet to a goy because at that time it's only Durabonon, and they were makel by Zman Durabonon of Tosefa Shabbos. So since Tosefa Shabbos is only Durabonon, there wasn't a perek for Tosefa Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and Motzei Shabbos. That's why there's only 24. That's why it says, Hadron Alech, what's it called, Mishehechshe. That tells me that Tosefa Shabbos is only Durabonon. And the Nela Slikuhu, Nesecha Shabbos, this is the end, because there's no more prakim coming, because Tosefa Shabbos is only Durabonon. With that, I wanted to answer a question that Yoel Rosenstein asked, and we never answered in the Shir, and with this I have an answer. He asked why, when we get to the 20th parak, the 21st parak is Echad v'esrim, Shnayim v'esrim, Shlosha v'esrim, and Pitom, it's Esrim v'arba, for the last one. And I think, I'm not sure anyone said here's a baldikduk, but it seems to me that Echad v'esrim, Shnayim v'esrim, is more specific for that, the number of that parak, the 21st parak, the 22nd parak, the 23rd parak. But Esrim v'arba can be more 24 prokim. Esrim v'arba prokim. Right? If you use the inverted order, it's more for the, what's it called, ordinal number of the thing, the specific number, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Esrim v'arba, like Esrim v'arba shows 24 hours, not the 24th hour. The Nela, there's something special about the 24th that really it shouldn't just be the 24th. There should be a 25th and a 26th. But that's it. There's only 24 prokim, one for each hour, because Tosfos Shabbos is only Durabonon. Weren't this Avni Nezer? Maybe that's why it changed. I have a chance to look in the Svarim to see if those prokim are significant or if there's other girsos and how they're made. But in our Gemaras, it is significant. Okay. Thinking to be Mekasher, the end of the Masechta with the beginning of the Masechta, we've explained many times that Shabbos has two concepts, the Shomer and the Zohar. The Shomer is that a person should know his place. And he shouldn't go out of his place, and he should know that he's only a worker here in the world, he's not the boss. And therefore, when the Rabban Shom closes the shop, and you can't use it, and you can't be creative, you should know that you're not the creator. You're a created being. That's one idea of Shabbos. And then there's an idea of Shabbos that a person can make use of the whole world, and with that, create Olam Haba. Shabbos Amin Olam Haba. We are only workers, but we're very important workers. As workers, we're partners with the Rabban Shalom. Shabbos starts with knowing your place. Not being motzi, mershus, lershus. You have to stay in your place on Shabbos. That's the first aspect of Shabbos. It ends with the fact that when Shabbos comes in, though, you can give your wallet to a goy to serve you, or an animal to serve you. The whole world serves man that he can create from this world, Olam Haba. So Shabbos starts with one aspect of Shabbos, and it ends with the other aspect of Shabbos. Two concepts in Shabbos. Okay. Now just a few personal... I'm a little bit tired and dizzy now. Not from yesterday. But I was invited today, for the second year already, to be an entertainer by one of the seminaries. They called me to say my Purim Torah that I said here yesterday. And I originally said, it's impossible. I have other simchas. And besides, the Shlepin Tirushalayim, I used to do it when I was younger. It was really great to be Yotzei Megillah four times and two sudas. And now already one is difficult. So I don't run into Tirushalayim. But and to Shlepin Tirushalayim with the traffic. But then they pleaded and they said, if you don't come, it's hard for us to get the girls to come to a Purim Suda. They're going to be all over the street. And you're going to be the responsible one for them. Nothing like little guilt. So I agreed to come, and I can't say Purim Torah unless I'm in the mood. So I had to drink a little bit just to get in the mood. And then I realized I'm like the... You ever see an organ grinder with a little monkey on the chain? I'm the little monkey on the chain. And that's where it's good, you know, to be an entertainer. And then I realize a lot of times I'm like that. Right? They invite me here, invite me there. That's mamish. I should get a monkey suit and what's it called? That may enhance my... Right. Remind me. And, but of all the things that may be on the monkey on the string, this year is not like that. This year is not an entertainment. Nobody is interested in being entertained at 6:45 in the morning. Including me. This is serious, right? It's Baruch Hashem. This is the real thing. And I thank you all for showing up so I have a chance to learn also, serious learning during the day also. And I want to thank everybody who's involved, Danny and Ellie, who initiated this year, and Aryeh, who takes over when I'm gone, and now with Erevin, I'm seeing how many times I can plan to go away as much as possible in the next. And to Rafi and Yehuda that take this and give me a chance to reach a wider audience. We even have Goyim listening to this year. A few natives from Africa we have hid in on the internet or whatever. And Baruch Hashem, I think there's at least 100 people out there that, I don't know if they follow the shiur constantly, but I know that they have shaykhs to the internet. They send me hate mail and whatever, so they're all out there. So, Baruch Hashem, the truth is we also have generations learning together here. Three generations in the Shapiro family are there at the shiur, many of the times. And Chaim Jacobs and his son, and who else is there with their children? Osher and his son. What?
Mayor
Migdal and his son. True. And who else? I have it written down over here. Yeah, and we said already from what's it called? Uncle and nephew? Ah, okay. And what else do I have down here? Oh, yeah. That, you know, everybody world over, wherever you have Daf Yomi, so they're learning it with the Schottenstein. We have a living Schottenstein that comes to our shiur. That's something better than just a plain old Gemara with a Schottenstein. That's, what else do I have here? First of all, I want to remind you about this Sefer Masifta. When they called me and started giving me the spiel about they're sending me Dugmaot and see how many people want to sign up, I really was not excited. But when I got the Sfarim and I looked through them, they're excellent. I plan to use them in preparation for the shiur. So if you want to know the shiur in advance, you can get the Sefer. And it's really an excellent thing. I don't know who put that together. And what? Ozvahadar? I don't know who that is either. But whoever it is, right, I'm looking for the cliff notes, but if it comes in that, I'd like to see it. But but it's excellent, really excellent. Whoever did it, and I plan to use it, and anybody who wants to get it can use it as a chazorah, as a preparation in place of the shiur, whatever you want to do. I also want to mention that if Erevin sounds scary, okay, first of all, you have a chance to look at pictures, you know, during the shiur. That's an extra added. We may even bring moving pictures about Erevin. We'll see if we can get Yehuda to do that. Look, if you don't understand everything, nishkaferlach. You put in the effort, and lasid lovel, you understand it all. And we'll make an effort, at least, to try to explain everything in a way that's possible. I'll tell you, last time, except for the times that I was away in Brachas, I didn't miss a shiur. This time I can't say that. I missed one shiur. I overslept. And my alarm didn't go off, besides the fact that I went to sleep that night about 3:30, so a little difficult to usually go to sleep at 2. Here I was really up late. And I thought that's my wife coughing. And I missed the shear. I was thinking to myself, why did that happen? And the Arya gave it unprepared, which was also a big feat. And I was wondering why that happened. And I figured it wasn't because I was lazy or whatever. That's not shy, right? So the real reason was, just like the Rebbe Shlomo made David HaMelech sin when he wasn't roy for it, and Klal Yisrael by the ego, let's do it next week, Sedra. So the Rebbe Shlomo made me wish one shear, first of all, to show me that I'm not perfect, which was a good reminder. And secondly, to teach everybody else that even if you miss sometimes, it's kefer lach, I still came after that. So even if you miss a few times, it's kedai, whatever you can get, to get. Don't give up because of Erevin. After that, it gets a little bit easier with Psachim, and after that, it's a lot of small mesechtes that you'll have a chance to have a siyum almost every month, or 2 months, whatever. So that's really, really shayach. So the mice, learn from me. Even if you miss, don't worry about it. It's, you'll make it up, Emir Tzashem, more times coming than missing. And I want to give the Yashikot to the women for encouraging their husbands to continue, and Mirza Hashem, they share in the reward without having to get up and come to a shir at 6:45 in the morning. And so anybody who complains that women have a hard time, right, remember this, you get the same reward these people get, and you can be in bed at the same time. Or you can be getting up and sending your children to school, whatever you're doing at that time in the morning. What? Okay, you could be at work. Okay, whenever somewhere I try to do make nice to the women, never works out. Especially at home. Mir Tzashem, I just hope that we'll be able to finish my remarks a lot of times. And Mir Tzashem, we should all be able to be together in good health, and be Messiah, Mesechta after Mesechta, until one day. First of all, when's the Siyum on Erevin? Ellie, you have an idea? What?
I'll let you know.
How much?
I'll let you know.
Oh. You know, anybody knows that? When? Cheshvan? Okay. And Mir Hashem, from there, Mesechta after Mesechta, and we should all be together, a little bit smaller, in Mir Hashem, in how many years it's going to take us, but in good health, all of us. And L'chaim Tovim u'L'Shalom, and some of the children will already have their children, and they'll come to the shir also. And the Mirza Hashem, we should be able to, as a shir, greet Mashiach Tzidkenu v'Meherav Yamin. Okay, just going to start the mission in Erevin. If you want to know what it's all about, come tomorrow. By that time, I will figure it out. Meanwhile, we'll okay, mavui shugavo lamala miyashrim amma yimoyt. If you have a mavui, and the way that a mavui is mutter to carry inside a mavui is three sides closed with houses and chaseros opened into a courtyard, and min hatora tzarishus hayochid, we'll go into detail tomorrow, and in order to carry their midrabanan, you have to have either a kora, a beam, that goes from the one wall to the other wall, the opening of the mavui, or a lechi, an upright on one side of the mavui. We'll discuss tomorrow why, but if it's higher than 20 amas, at least the korah, the top can't be higher than 20 amas, because then you don't see it, there's no heker, and that's possible. And so you have to, what's it called, lower it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzarech. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even a korah that's higher than 20 amas is kosher. Also, the opening can't be more than 10 amas in length, because if it's more than 10 amas, it's not considered an opening, it's considered a pirza, like a break. So then you have to make it smaller before you can be machshir it with a lechi or a korah. But if you make a tzuras ha-pesach over that opening, two uprights and a cross beam over the top of the two uprights, then ain't sarach l'mayit. Then even if it's more than 10 amos, you can close it off with a tzuras ha-pesach, and that is kosher. It's Rashi. We'll do the Rashi Mizrashem tomorrow morning.